This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The exhibit Treasures of Our Military Past, which opened last Friday at the Cincinnati Museum Center, celebrates our region's rich military history and tells the stories of the many men and women, as well as the local organizations, institutions, and businesses that contributed to the military conflicts of the last two centuries. Here to talk about the exhibit are David Konzett, Cincinnati Museum Center Curator, History Collections and Fine Art, and Scott Gamford, Director of the Cincinnati History Library and History Collections. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Scott and David, good to have you here this afternoon.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
David, start by telling us what exactly is this exhibit about? I mean, it sounds like there's a lot in this.
Well, it's about Cincinnati's military past, and there is a lot in it. That's the one comment that I've heard from a lot of people since the exhibit opened, is they're amazed at how much material is in there. And I didn't think it was enough, really.
As a curator, do you ever think it's enough?
I don't think so, and Scott will back me up on that.
And this is the fourth installment of the Cincinnati Museum Center's Treasures series, right? And what were the other three installments about?
First one we did was Cincinnati's Fine Art, Art of Cincinnati. Then the next one was Cincinnati Nature Art. And then Scott curated one last summer on Cincinnati photographs, Cincinnati in black and white.
Right. And one of the reasons we like this treasure series so much is because it's an opportunity for us to highlight our collections, to show the depth and scope and breadth of the collections. And we like this military theme because we really are able to mine down into all the collections. And I mean, artifacts, archival materials, photographs, artwork, published materials. It really cuts across all the collecting areas. So it really is a nice opportunity for us.
So, Scott, talk about how extensive Cincinnati's military history is, because I think a lot of people don't realize just how far back
they don't.
That whole thing, how it goes.
Really, the founding and settlement of Cincinnati, of course, is tied to our military past. We have some things, for example, from the 1790s relating to the establishment of Fort Washington. We have some things in the exhibit relating to the military campaigns against the allied Indian tribes in the Northwest Territory, all the way through the War of 1812, the war with Mexico, and then on from there. So from that very early period, we have a few artifacts, and the ones we have, I think, are people are really going to love. And then we have a lot of documents, letters, diaries, journals, official documents. There's a plan of Fort Washington, the earliest known engineering plan of Fort Washington. I think people will be kind of blown away. And there are things in this exhibit from famous people. There's some presidential documents and so on, but a lot of it is artifacts and archival materials that relate to ordinary Cincinnatians who made their contribution to our military history.
And I think that's really the key to the exhibit. It's not, I don't want to present this, as I often say, as drum and bugle history. It's not that.
Mm-hmm.
It's Cincinnati people. And I think that's what people have come away with, is all these different people and their stories. That's what really makes the exhibit.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And it's not just people who served in combat. In fact, there is a lot of that. It's not even that they served in uniform. Many people, as private citizens, made contributions to our military history through war production work, through volunteerism from home front activities. So we tried to cover kind of the breadth of the types of contributions people could have made to our military history.
And when we're talking about Cincinnati's military history, you're talking about Fort Washington Way, So we're talking about what, back into the 1790s, is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah, actually the earliest thing in the exhibit is from the Revolutionary War. We have our broadside copy of the Declaration of Independence, which is kind of our starting point in the exhibit, but a lot from the 1790s and the early 19th century. That's the early period in the exhibit. And then all the way up to, David, what is 2009, 2010, something like that for
2010, we have.
Yeah.
In fact, he's one of our security people at the museum. He was a Marine in Afghanistan, stationed at Camp Leatherneck, and Jim donated his uniform and all of his equipment for that section.
Tell me about some of the other people whose stories you can learn about at this exhibit, David.
For me, I mean, it really starts with, you know, back at the time of Fort Washington, Matt Anthony Wayne and all of these, the early settlers of Cincinnati. On up. I think the one thing that kind of surprised me in doing this was we have a medical story related to Cincinnati, military medicine, from really the Civil War on up, especially World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and these are all local doctors and their stories, and being, you know, Army doctors, surgeons.
Right, and we like that too, because that wasn't a deliberate thing. It just, when we start looking at these military stories, we found that, look, we have all of this medical-related history that we're telling in these stories, and it ties right into, we have a partnership with UC and the C-STARS program, which is training, you know, physicians and nurses to deal with combat injuries now. And so it's a nice tie-in that we have a kind of a thread of military medicine that runs through the whole exhibit.
Was there anything else, Guy, that surprised you in this exhibit when it was coming together?
Well, I think even though we see a lot of these things all the time, I think when we start, and David and the other curators probably feel the same way, you start pulling stuff out and really looking at the stories, there are really some amazing stories. There were people from Cincinnati involved in every aspect of military history, and some, of course, gave their lives for us, and others who made their sacrifice big and small. And you know, military veterans tend to be very humble, and they'll often say, well, I didn't really do anything. I wasn't in combat. But then when you look at what they did, a lot of times that was a big contribution too. And everybody does their part in each generation, and I think that comes through in the exhibit.
Well, how many people from the Cincinnati area have gone to war? Do you have any idea?
I don't know the number. No, it's a good question. I don't know off the top of my head the total. Mm-hmm. It would be hard to compute, but we probably could.
Yeah, and we always think of going off to war, but there have been quite a few battles that were fought in the Cincinnati area, right?
Yeah. Well, there were things launched from Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And the campaigns, there were basically three campaigns against the allied Indian tribes in the 1790s, two unsuccessful, and then, of course, David mentioned Mad Anthony Wayne. His succeeded. And by the way, resulted in the Treaty of Greenville in 1795, which once and for all settled the issue between the Native Americans and the U.S. government. We actually have a copy of the Treaty of Greenville from 1795, which is in this exhibit.
Okay, so you have a copy of this. That's fascinating. What are some of the other things, David, that are in there? You've mentioned so much.
I was going to say, I think people are surprised, as Scott was saying, by the breadth of the collection, the depth of the collection. I think people will be surprised by certain things that we've restored in recent years that are on display, and one of them is a Civil War Naval Parrot rifle. It's actually a deck gun, a large cannon that was placed on gunboats that were made in Cincinnati. Now, people are going to look at this and they say, oh, it's huge. This is a small one. It's called a 30-pounder, meaning that it fires a 30-pound shell. The cannon itself weighs 3,500 pounds. But like I say, this is a small one.
And, you know, I'm glad David mentioned that because a lot of the stories are about people. But there are select artifacts where really there's an interesting story about how we acquired it, how we've preserved it, how we restored it, and we tried to tell those stories too.
We're talking about Treasures of Our Military Past. It's a new exhibit at the Cincinnati Museum Center with David Konzett, Cincinnati Museum Center Curator, History Collections and Fine Art, and Scott Gamford, Director of the Cincinnati History Library and History's Collections. Thanks to Renee Parker for listening to 91.7 WVXU today. Scott, you know, you always think of Cincinnati. Here we are. We're kind of in the middle of the country, and you think about conflicts, usually you know, New York City, Los Angeles. They're closer to the theaters of war, and right. And you always think, Cincinnati, how do we respond to things? I mean, being stuck right here.
Well, first, we were the West at one point, so, you know.
Early on, yeah.
Yeah, we're in the middle of the country now, but we were the West. And even during the Civil War, of course, we were still one of the biggest cities in the United States, and one of the fastest growing when the war started. So it's changed somewhat over time. But regardless of the time period and regardless of the conflict, there have been people from Cincinnati who've made contributions. And that's, I think, comes through when you walk around in the exhibit and you're in these different time periods. You really see, wow, we have a very deep and long history with military activity in this city. And a lot of it, I suspect, people probably don't know about or haven't thought about for a long time.
Now, David, the Museum Center has the Cincinnati World War II exhibit that's going on, and is this Treasures exhibit, is that in addition to that whole?
It's in addition. In fact, I think many times during the course of doing Treasures, we would think of things that we more or less wanted to borrow from the World War II exhibit and thought, well, we can't take that exhibit apart. But we have enough in the collections that, it's a separate exhibit. And really, in many respects, it's the subject matter is somewhat different because it encompasses all wars, all conflicts, and all these different people.
Yeah, Union Terminal seems like a really an appropriate place to have a display like
yes.
this, too, because you know, there are always going to be a men and women who have memories of when they were traveling during World War II, and that was
sure,
still a major train station.
And I'm glad you mentioned it because, of course, yes, it's a perfect place for this exhibit. And one of the things that's actually on display from David's collection is an engraved silver bowl that was presented to the woman Bailey Wright Hickenlooper, who ran the Troops and Transit Lounge during World War II, the USO Troops and Transit Lounge. And, of course, you know, millions of GIs came and went through the terminal during the war. And those ladies were all volunteers. They did all of that, you know, on their own time. And to recognize that, in the exhibit we have that presentation piece plus some photographs of the Troops and Transit Lounge and some other USO items. We want to make sure that we, you know, point out our own history. But you're right, that was sort of the epicenter for troops traveling across the country during the war and when they came home at the end of the war.
You're talking about some of the surprising things like the huge gun that you have on display. What are some of the other really surprising items that people will find in
this? Well, I think, and Scott alluded to this before, as far as what Cincinnati has produced on the home front, there's two pieces in there that I searched for. One in particular I looked for 20 years before I found one, and that was a radio that was made by the Crosley Radio Corporation during the war. It's called the SCR-284 Field Radio. And Crosley made about 150,000 of these things. And it was the mainstay radio for the Army during World War II. And the other thing is, it's one of the most highly kept secrets of the war, made here in Cincinnati, at least major components of it, the Norden bomb sight that was used in all the bombers.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I know of Norden bomb sight, but I did not realize that was a Cincinnati
It was a very product. Highly kept secret.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think one interesting thing that we got into in the exhibit is when we were sitting around sort of brainstorming about military history is the whole Cold War story. Mm-hmm. And there were many aspects that tied to Cincinnati history. And one thing that David had in the collection that was great, and for people our generation, we really can relate to it, is the whole bomb shelter phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And David actually has some things, and we tell the story of an actual underground bomb shelter that a person had installed and later de-installed.
Yes. This was Professor Branch. He was a professor at Miami University in Oxford. And this was 20 years ago. He had me come out, and he was taking this thing out. And as I said in the exhibit label, it looked like a large tin dollhouse before it was placed underground. They buried this thing underground, then connected it to his basement. And it was outfitted with bunks and all of this, and there was only a few inches of dirt above it. I mean, and I think when he donated this, he was embarrassed by it because he realized that in the event of a nuclear war, this would have been his tomb.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. We can look at that and go, that was just a really strange period of time. But the fear was real.
Right. It seems funny maybe to young people looking back at it now, but it was deadly serious.
Sure.
And we've tied to that the story of the Fernald facility. And so we have a text panel and one artifact that's actually from the Fernald story, because, again, those were men and women who worked in that facility. That was very much a part of the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
That was maybe not so well known. Fernald's better known for the environmental problems and the cleanup and so on. But they made their contribution, too. So we wanted to mention that in the exhibit.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And David, this really is it's a vast collection. So what did you have to do to pull all this together? I mean, just how much effort went into gathering all this?
Well, I was just thinking, when the concept for this exhibit came up, and I'm very much interested, as is Scott, in military history, and I really wasn't too excited about it from the standpoint that I didn't think we had enough in the collection to cover all this ground. Well, really, we had more than enough. They were always hassling me at the end because I was pulling out artifacts, wanted to get more cases. But one thing that I was concerned about is, once we got past World War II, at least initially, we had nothing in the collection related to the Korean War, Vietnam, the recent wars in the Middle East. And I remember there was one curators meeting we were having, and Scott asked, you know, what do we have on Korea? And I said, nothing. We have absolutely nothing. And I'd actually thought about just installing an empty case and say, Korean War, the Forgotten War.
Yeah.
I got back to my office that day, and within 2 hours after the meeting, I get a call from a guy. And my wife always says, this always happens to you. And he said, do you want my dad's Korean War uniform? And this is the first call I'd ever received. He knew nothing about the exhibit. And I said, well, what did your dad do? He was a surgeon in a MASH unit in Korea.
Wow.
A wonderful story. And now we have this collection. And I think we'll generate more collections for the exhibit because of this.
Yeah, and that's a good point. We, you know, the exhibit reflects what we have in our collections. And there are some areas where we're very strong and some areas where we would like to have more. That's another thing about highlighting our collections in these treasures exhibits. It gets the message out to the public, hey, we're still collecting. You may have things that have historical significance. We know sometimes a certain amount of time has to pass before people begin to see their things as having historical significance. It might be children or grandchildren sometimes who donate the things. But we're certain this exhibit raises the profile of our collections, and we will get things donated as a result of it.
You know, as somebody who's lived in Cincinnati since I was a little kid, sometimes I think we take our history for granted, don't we?
We do.
I mean,
yeah,
there's really a lot more going on than we realize.
Right.
What's the message, David, that you would like people to get from this exhibit? What would you like them to take away from it?
Oh, you know, I really hadn't thought about that. I would say just that not to forget your past and your neighbors around you. That's one question that when I've done exhibits like this in the past, especially on World War II, people would come up to me and say, where did you get these stories? And I would say, talk to your neighbors. They're your neighbors. And I'm guilty of that too. Because you don't think about these people that are living around you and what, you know, what they have seen, what they've contributed to this city and the country.
Yeah, I agree completely with what David said. I think that's the big thing, and we were all struck by it working on it. It's that, you know, to the degree that we think about veterans, and we should think about them a lot more, we tend to think about the ones we've known in our lifetime. So current veterans, our friends, our parents and grandparents. But part of the message I want to come out of the exhibit is that the people you didn't know who came before you, those generations and generations before you, they made a contribution to our security and our safety and protecting our freedoms too. And a lot of times they're very ordinary people who, you know, very humble, but they made their contribution, and that's what we want to come through in the exhibit.
And David, there is also a way in this exhibit that you can honor veterans, isn't there?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
There's a tribute wall. As you walk in on the far wall, there's a tribute wall. From all wars, if you have, you know, ancestors, relatives, friends, you can contribute. I'm not sure what the amounts are, but an amount of money, and their name will be placed on the wall.
I think I saw $10.
Is that $10?
Yeah, a minimum. So. And I wanted to mention a couple of dates that are coming up.
Sure.
Right now, we have about 700 to 750 names on that wall in the exhibit. We're going to change it again and keep those names, but add the ones we've gotten since then. And there's a date of May 31st. If you get your veteran listed, and you can go to our website and get the details on how to do that, you get that listed by a person listed by May 31st, they will be in the exhibit by July 1. And then we have one more opportunity to actually get their name in the exhibit, and that is on July 10th, we have a deadline, and those names will be added to the exhibit by August 1st. And all of the names that we get are on our website and will reside on the website even after the exhibit comes down. So it's a two ways to honor your veteran, one by listing their name, and also that little contribution that you make goes into an endowment that is to preserve the military collections that you see on display.
Well, Scott and David, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
David Konzett is Cincinnati Museum Center Curator, History Collections and Fine Art. Also, Scott Gamfer was talking with us today. He's the director of the Cincinnati History Library and History Collections.